Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Glad to be a child of God. Very thankful to have God on my side and I am on his side this morning. You know, Brother Woody said it the other day. He said that it doesn't get easier, and that's true. We need the Lord with us every time. And so God said he wouldn't leave me and he wouldn't forsake me. And so I am encouraged by that this morning. Yes. Seems like the enemy wants to fight you on every line, but God is able to deliver you and to help you to do what it is that he has you to do. And so we're encouraged by that this morning. As always, I desire your prayers. It's my desire to give you the word of God this morning, to encourage your heart along the way, to give you some knowledge, maybe some understanding, to remind you of what you need to be doing if you're not doing it. If you are doing it, then, by the help of the Lord, to encourage you to continue to do it. So I desire your prayers this morning. All right, the title of this message is more of a lesson, but it's also a message, would be One Flesh. The number one, and then flesh. And we get our text for the message from Matthew 19, 5 and 6. If you beat me there, go ahead and read it for us, would you please? Again, I desire your prayers. It says here in Matthew 19, verse number 5,
And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother,
and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh.
Wherefore
there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I want to encourage you this morning to know and to understand that marriage is under attack. All right? Marriage is under attack. And then godly marriages, all right, specifically are under attack. All right? And so what the enemy is trying to do is he's trying to unseat and trying to redefine something that God put in motion.
Right.
All right, and I'm going to show you in the Word how God did that. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to do away with an institution that was established by God way back in the Garden of Eden. May God help us this morning. And so what he's doing is he's trying to redefine it. He's trying to change it. Mankind doesn't have that authority, and the devil definitely doesn't have that authority. May God help us this morning. Institution is defined as an established law or practice or custom. So since God established it, then he's the one that defines it. He defines what is lawful. He defines what is right and what is just. And so when God made marriage, it's his deal. We can't change it. We can't do anything with it. We have to go with what God says that it is. And so man cannot decide what marriage is or what it isn't. And so he can't change what it is or what it isn't. The enemy's trying to redefine it. Don't be deceived. Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so you might say, well, I know what marriage is, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but does everybody know? And are we living like what God wants us to live? May God help us this morning. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled by the enemy this morning. Man does not have the authority to do anything with what God has done and what he has said. May God help us this morning. Continue to pray for us. Seems like the devil has been fighting us extra hard. Seems like every time I get up here, he seems to want to fight us. But continue to pray for us. We're going to do what the Lord asks us to do by the grace and the help of God. I want you to go to Genesis 1 and 27. I want you to read with me this morning. It says here, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. All right, so male and female created he them. I shouldn't have to say this morning, but the enemy has had so much advantage in the world today that people are unsure of what marriage is. And so we got to define marriage this morning. God performed the first marriage ceremony.
Yes.
All right? And maybe the preacher in these days and time, he performs the ceremony, but God is the one that honors it and binds it up in heaven. You understand? And so we need to understand that right now today. And so what happened is, it says here in verse number 28, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the air, a fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed that is upon the face of the earth, every tree, and which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed, to you it shall be meat. All right, and so God, what God did is he made the male and he made the female. And so marriage is defined as somebody that is not married to somebody else, and they married one another, but it has to be male and it has to be female. All right, and so I don't know if that's, in time past, I don't believe we had to say that. But in these days and times, we have to stand against what the enemy is trying to do. Yeah. Two males cannot marry each other. No. They can say that they're married to each other. Somebody can stand before you and perform a ceremony, but it is not in the sight of God a marriage. And since God made man, and God is the one that defines what marriage is, and I'll show you here in 2 and 18, then God defines what it is, and nobody can do anything with that and by the help and the grace of God. All right, so let's go with me to Genesis 2 and 18. I'm telling you, he's trying to fight me. He's trying to fight. I shouldn't know that he's going to try to fight me, because that's his agenda. This is his agenda. He wants two men together. He wants two women together. He wants somebody. If God married the first one, right, then if they leave each other and they're both still alive, then why would he marry the second one? Does that make sense? If this is God's institution,
right,
then how in the world can I be married to somebody else and I have a living spouse? If God joined us together, what'd he do? Unjoin you? See, it get quiet now, but it's truth anyhow. This is the truth of God's word. I'm going to show you by the help and grace of God. The Lord is trying to give us something. Don't believe that you can live in contrary to the word of God and go to heaven too. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way this morning. May God help us. All right, so in Genesis 2 and 18, and see, people don't know this. This is why it has to be preached. Because there's so much confusion in the world. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. All right, so the enemy wants as much confusion as he can, because he knows that we don't do well with confusion. All right, and so our decisions can be hindered, or something can happen where we get to go in the wrong way because we don't know any better. So we're going to preach the word of God this morning and make it clear and plain by the grace and help of God. God is not the author of confusion. All right? And so God knows all about that. He's going to help us this morning. All right, in Genesis 2 and 18, it reads, and the Lord God said, remember God made man already back in Genesis 1. All right, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him. All right, and so what happened there is God made man, and man was going about doing the things that Adam was going about doing the things that he was doing, and then God said he needs somebody to help him.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you this morning, God was right.
Yes.
We need all the help we can get and some.
Amen.
And so we thank God for our wives, and we thank God for doing that for us. And so what happened was, he saw that Adam needed a wife. And so it says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed, pay attention here, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam, all right? And read that for me, all right, to see what he would call them. Whatsoever called Adam, every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave name to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Pause there. All right, and so God made Adam out of the dust of the ground. Pay attention. And then God made all the animals and all those things, and he let Adam name them things, right?
Yes.
But pay attention here in this next verse, verse number 20. What does it say?
21. The Lord God called a deep sleep.
Called a deep sleep. fall upon Adam. He slept, he took from his ribs, closed up the flesh thereof. All right. Yes. All right. Pause there. So notice that when God saw that the man needed somebody to help him, he said, I'm going to do something about that.
Right.
And so what he did was, he didn't take from the ground, he took from Adam.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the title of this discourse?
One flesh.
One flesh.
Yeah.
All right, and so what is, I'm going to show you, stay with me this morning, but what God was doing, he was establishing something here.
Yeah.
He was getting us to understand that a marriage, and we'll get there, and we'll read the scriptures, but a marriage is something that is done by God. God is the one that defines it, all right? And so this is the example of the first marriage. God put Adam and Eve together. He made Eve from Adam's rib, all right? And so they became one flesh, literally, physically, spiritually, and in every needed way. They became one flesh, all right? God did that, all right? And so we see that this is what God is doing in terms of marriage, all right? Let's move forward to Matthew. Stay with me this morning. God is wanting to give us an understanding if we don't already have one. He's the one that performed the surgery. You see the deep sleep? That's like putting them unconscious and putting them under anesthesia and all those things. God is the first surgeon that we know of.
Yeah.
All right? And he did that. So Adam didn't know. He didn't feel. He had an understanding that God did something after the fact, but when he was going through that, he didn't know. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so we move forward here over to Matthew. And Matthew 19, verse number 3, I want to pick it up. Go ahead and read for us if you can. The Lord knows all about it. Continue to pray for us, all right?
Where he also came unto him, tempting him.
All right.
Unto him.
All right.
Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife
for a
different cause?
All right.
And he answered and said unto them,
all right.
Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning,
all right,
made them male and female?
All right, pause. So that you see the connection there? You see the connection that's happening there? Okay, I'm going to go back to verse number 2. It says, great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. So what God was doing was, what Jesus was doing was what he always does. He's going around healing people, doing good, right? And so what the devil does, and he'll do this with you too, when you're trying to do the will of the Lord, he's going to send something behind what you're doing to try to negate what's going on. And so in verse number 3, what they were trying to do was set Jesus up for failure.
Yeah.
They were trying to trick him into something, right? And so it says here in verse number 3, and the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away a wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh.
Amen.
All right? And so we understand that what was happening was, is that just like in today's time, what people do is, and I want you to be encouraged this morning by the help of the Lord, what people do is, if things get difficult in the marriage, then they're out.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
When the reality is, you need to spend more time on your relationship and getting close to God and putting God in his place in your life, because again, this is God's institution.
Yeah.
All right? And so it's not going to work right without him in it. All right? And so if you're coming to difficulties in your marriage, I'm telling you a simple answer, a plain answer would be, put God in his place and you follow what God told you to do.
Yeah.
All right? Because this is his deal.
Yeah.
All right? So what people are not doing is what they're doing is they're coming together under the ceremony and they're living as boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
In their minds, they haven't made the leap that we are now one flesh.
Yeah.
All right? If I do something that hurts you, am I not hurting myself?
Yeah.
How is that? How am I hurting myself? one flesh. You see? And so then the mind has to shift from boyfriend and girlfriend, those that are shacking up and living together, to something that is totally different. We need to understand that when I stand at the altar before the minister and I make my vows, I made those vows to God Almighty. All right? And because it's his institution, if it's a lawful marriage, he obligates himself to help us. You see? But if we don't do that, and we're living basically, what I mean by boyfriend and girlfriend, a boyfriend and girlfriend can come and do adult things together, but really what they are concerned with are themselves. All right? I'm the man, I'm concerned about what I'm doing. You're the woman, you're concerned about what you're doing. We separate and do our thing. And then we bring that into the marriage. This is why fornication is not good. Because that's the mindset that you're bringing into the marriage. You bring that mindset into the marriage, you don't realize that now you are to be one flesh. And so whatever I'm trying to do, I'm trying to do it. Whatever you're trying to do, you're trying to do it. And we're in the same boat. But I'm rowing in different directions, and guess what? We're rowing in circles.
Yes.
May God help us.
Yes.
One flesh.
Yes.
When I get married, I'm saying, God, to have and to hold from this day forward till death do us part, by the grace and help of God. And since this is your institution, Lord, I'm involving you in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end on a day-by-day basis.
Yes.
Because I need your help. Do you know that it takes humility to have a marriage?
Yes.
You know that it is a good idea. It is God's order. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Yes. Do you know that it's a good idea to be saved first? Because, I'm going to tell you why. Because you need humility.
Yes.
You need to understand that there is something more important than your own self in this marriage.
Yes.
And most people, myself included, we weren't there yet, were we?
True.
When God saved me, he helped me with that.
Yes.
My wife said, true. It's true. I had to understand that I'm no longer for me, but I'm for my wife. Now, how could things work if I'm just for me? And then we bring children into the world.
Right.
You see? There's an order. This is God's institution. And there's an order that needs to be followed if it's going to work properly. And if you're somewhere in that order and it's not working properly, I'm encouraging you this morning to go back to the basics.
Yes.
Lord, this is your institution.
Yes.
What would you have me to do?
Yes.
Well, how would you have me to go forward in this situation? If you don't do that, things will never work out.
Right.
They're not going to work out. All right? So may God help us this morning. So it says, leave and cleave. I want to encourage us this morning, and maybe if you didn't know, what does cleave mean? Somebody tell me what cleave means. Stick to, or what else? Did you know that stick to, cleave is stick to or separate? That's what it is. Cleave means to bind together or separate. In this case, God made it clear, Jesus made it clear, we're going to read the next scripture. But he said, you leave your parents. Do you know that when you come into a marriage, you can't bring your mama into your marriage?
Amen.
Men?
That's right. Yes.
Women? You can't. Your mama, understand, I'm not saying disregard them. I am absolutely not saying that. But you know what happens is, your mother and your father have a role to raise you and nurture you up to a certain point.
Yes.
And then once you get in that marriage, it's time to leave that and then put God in their place.
Right.
Okay? And what can happen is, and Lord help me, I got children and I don't want to do this. But your love for your child, you get in there and you meddle with things and things can be messed up. And so what we need is the Lord to be involved in the situation, and he be leading and guiding and directing. Why is it that way? Because if your mother and your father pass away, you still have direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
Easy, see?
Right.
Yeah.
It's easy. And so what it takes for me as the husband, it takes my wife as the wife to say, okay, now it's time to put God in his place and we'll follow him.
Yes.
All right? And what the parents do, they're not unimportant. What they do is they promote that and encourage that. And that's the way things work.
Yes.
May God help us this morning.
Yes.
All right? And so it says leave and cleave. And so we leave the nurturing of our parents. We put God as the head of our marriage. We follow God and we cleave one to another.
Yes.
How do we know that that's what it means? Because in verse number 6 it says, wherefore they are no more twain. Twain means two. All right? There are no more twain, but one flesh. And then what does it say after that?
What therefore God has joined
together, let not who?
Man.
Let not man put asunder. When was this written? Thousands of years ago, right? But the same devil was around back then, right? And so what the devil has always done, what he's always going to do, is something that God has done, he's going to try to do something about that. And so even back then, up until now, the same thing is going on. And so we can go and we can go in front of a divorce court and we go before a judge and have us a lawyer and all those things. But again, how can you undo what God has done?
Yes.
I'm going to say something else here too. And this may touch you a little bit, but this is the truth. When it says what God has joined together.
Right.
When God does something, he does it well.
Amen.
Okay? So what ends up happening is we come into the relationship. We didn't put God in his proper place. I'm talking about a hypothetical situation. We didn't follow God's leading and guiding. And so therefore, now we want to separate. We're going to get a divorce. And why is it 20 and 30 and 50 years later, you still ain't right? You still are one flesh. You in a whole different situation, got a whole nother family, but your heart is still connected to God, who God put you together with in the first place.
Right.
This is what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you that sometimes you get hurt so bad that you feel like you don't love him anymore. But I'm telling you, what God has joined together,
right,
he does it well.
Yes.
And so it's hard for that person that, I know things. I'm going to be honest with you. Things can go wrong and people can do you wrong too.
Yes.
That's the truth. But I'm telling you this morning, if you have a lawful marriage, spend time investing in that marriage.
Yes.
Spend your time doing what the Lord told you to do,
yes,
in and concerning that marriage, and see if God don't do something about that.
Amen.
He is a redeemer. He is a restorer.
Yes.
He is a healer.
Amen.
All right? God can heal you where you're hurt. He can redeem what has been broken. He can restore and fix what seems like is impossible to fix. I am a witness of that this morning. God did that for me. So you can't tell me nothing different. But it wasn't because I'm so great. It's because I had to humble myself by the grace and help of God and say, Lord, fix this for me, please. Because if you don't fix this, we ain't going to never get it right. And I get it. People look at the problem and they say, well, there's so much water on the bridge and he's hurt me so bad and she's hurt me so bad, it could never be fixed. Not so.
Yes.
Not so.
Amen.
God's able to heal.
Thank you, Lord.
God's able to bless. He's able to do it. But it takes us being willing to allow the Lord to do that for us. Because again, he put us together.
Thank you.
All right? And so if he put us together, then he has a vested interest in our success.
Yes.
All right, and so you and I, we've got to put that into practice. All right, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Does it get any more simple than that? Our job is to have a God-sanctioned, God-led common goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do marriage.
That is true.
That's how you do marriage. Lord, what is your goal for our marriage?
Yeah.
All right, and then, Lord, we're going to follow that.
Amen.
That's what's going to give you success this morning,
yeah,
by the help of the Lord. All right. All right, want to move forward to Matthew 10. I appreciate your time and your attention.
Amen.
Mark chapter 10. And so this is the same account, but again, when you have two different perspectives, you get very close information, but what's highlighted in my mind maybe not highlighted in your mind. And so if they were exactly the same, then that would be like something that we rehearsed, right? We got together, we rehearsed that. But what happened is both of these brothers were there, and they saw what happened, and they're giving their account. So then Mark and Tim, there's going to be a lot of similar things, but it goes a little farther in Mark 10, and I want you to get a hold of that this morning. Starting off at verse number 2. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful to put away, for a man to put away his wife, tempting him?
And he answered and said,
what did he say?
What did Moses command you?
Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away.
Jesus answered and said,
all right. All right, I want you to stay with me this morning. So this is the same account, different person giving the account. All right, so they said, what they heard was, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? So generally the same thing. And then he asked them, what did Moses tell you? And they said, Moses, and he knew what Moses said.
Yeah.
All right, and he said, so they said, Moses gave a law of divorcement. And then what did he say after that?
And Jesus answered and said unto them,
all right.
For the hardness of your heart.
All right.
May
God help us.
Yeah.
I want us to understand some things here this morning. Hardness of our hearts is going to hinder the will of God in our lives.
Yeah.
I said hardness of our hearts will hinder the will of God in our lives.
Yeah.
What happened was they went to Moses, wrote the law of divorcement, but that was Old Testament.
Right?
We don't sacrifice sheep and goats no more either. We don't eye for an eye no more either. You understand? So that was the old way. But when Christ came, he said from the beginning, that was not the will of God.
Right.
You understand? And so what happened was the Israelites was always having to sacrifice and do all these ceremonies and stuff because they couldn't live free from sin. But now we can live free from sin. We can have the Holy Spirit in us and dwelling with us to enable us to do the will of God.
Yeah.
All right? And so God never intended for that to be, and he doesn't intend for that to be right now today.
Right.
All right? And see that he's referring back to the Old Testament and giving us knowledge and giving us understanding.
Yeah.
All right? It says here, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. We talked about that. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And we talked about that. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Same boat. I want to talk about here briefly. The way that God blessed me in my mind to see it is you're in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
When you get married, you're in the same boat.
Yes.
And you're on the seas of life.
Yes.
And what happens is sometimes you have two oars. You know, when you're in the boat, you got the oar, and you're using that, right? And so what happened is what the enemy wants to do is have you going in different directions, and you'll never get anywhere. You're just going in circles. All right? And then sometime, one of the people that have the oar, they put the oar down. And so you got the one person trying to keep the thing going, and you still got problems.
Yeah.
All right, and then in the third situation, because you have taken God out of the equation, you both got oars, you're both in the boat, you're rowing in the same direction, but it's the wrong direction.
Right.
May God help us this morning.
Yeah.
This is what the Lord gave me about this.
Yeah.
All right, and so what we have to do is, again, go back to the beginning. What is it that God wanted us to do? What did he want us to do? And then how does he want us to go about it? And then, Lord, help me to do that by the grace and help of God.
Yes.
All right? Let God be the guide and the lead. Let him tell you where the rocks are. Let him tell you where the rough waters are so he can speak peace to them.
Right.
Alright? Let him tell you where your oars need to, what direction your boat need to be pointed in, and then be rowing together in that direction by the grace and help of God. This is what the Lord wants. Alright? And God's able to do that for us, but you and I have to be willing to allow him to do this. We first have to acknowledge that this is his deal. Do not, young people, take marriage lightly. Don't take marriage lightly. It's a very serious thing. Alright? And the Bible talks about a shipwreck. It talks about souls being shipwrecked at some point in there. I don't have the chapter and verse, but it's in there. And what it's talking about is you got going in the wrong direction, you didn't see something coming, and your ship was damaged. And now, let me ask you this. If you're one flesh, and then you're in the same boat, if you get shipwrecked, how many of y'all is in the water? Both of you in the water. And what's in the water? See what I'm saying? We don't know what's in that water. So let's at least stay in the boat, both of us. Alright? And let's at least be concerned about which direction we're going, right? So that we don't end up shipwrecked. Alright? And I say that, but I want us to get a hold of that by the grace and the help of God this morning. Alright, and I'm almost done here. I appreciate your time and your attention. Alright, it says, they twain, this is the eighth verse, they twain shall be one flesh. So then there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. In the same house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And this is something that we need to get a hold of. It says here in verse number 11, he saith unto him, So tell me this. If this ain't adultery, what is? All right? That's what I want to know. All right? It says here, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another does what? Okay. How hard is that? But they don't get along. And they have irreconcilable differences. What is an irreconcilable difference? What is it? Huh? What is it? Now, if you got in a situation where you didn't put God first in the situation, and something, there are situations that something could be going on, and it's just not safe to be in there.
Right. True.
Yeah. Let's read what it says, though. Let's get the whole scripture. It says, whosoever shall put away his wife and do what?
Marry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, then. You see where that is making it plain for us? You put away your wife and you marry another, you're committing adultery. So in other words, you got married to somebody, they wasn't married before, you're married, unless their spouse has passed away, and that's you can do that too, but you're married, they wasn't married before, y'all married one another, nobody had been married before, and then something happened in the situation, and the devil convinced you that leaving them was something that you need to do, and then what do? You go out and you go get another. It says here that that's committing adultery.
Yeah, yeah.
What's verse number 12 say?
And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committed adultery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lord help us.
Yeah.
There are terrible situations out there. But what I believe is that when we give the enemy the ability to affect our situation, we are culpable in that.
Right. Yeah.
We have responsibility in that. I didn't obey I saw this man, I saw this woman, and that's who I wanted, so that's who I got. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You think God didn't know that that man or that woman wasn't going to do right? You think he didn't know that? He knew that. Are you in a place where, and this is two people that are unmarried, are you even in a place where you're ready to be married? This is something that we don't do lightly. We prepare our hearts. We prepare our minds. We get in a place before the Lord where we begin to seek the Lord while he may be found. We call upon him while he's near and say, Lord, what is the spouse that you have for me? All
right?
And then God gives us who we want, and we don't second guess that. We go with what God wants us to have. And if we do that, then we're starting off on the good foot. But maybe we don't do that. But we still marry somebody that is legal to be married in God's eyes. Sooner or later, if it's going to work out, you've got to put God in his right place. Put him at the head of your marriage. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, put God where he needs to be. And see if God don't do something about your situation. That's how it works. Why? Because this is God's deal. The minister, he performs this ceremony, but the ceremony, the one that counts back there is God, because this is his deal.
Yeah, right.
And he's the one that does the joining. That's why if your wife say something to you that cut across the grain, it hurts so bad. If your husband say something to you, it hurts bad. Why? One flesh.
Yeah.
You will never be closer to anybody other than God than you will be to your spouse.
Right.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
And so you need God involved in the situation so you can be careful how you deal with one another, how you love one another, how you show grace. One, you all need love. Part of love is grace. You're going to need some grace. You're going to need some humility. You're going to need some patience. You're going to need all of that. But most of all, you need God to be at the head of this thing and leading and guiding and directing. Do not, the Bible says, the song says, cast not, what is it? What's the song? When you push away God's hand, I don't need your help, Lord. To yield unto the tempting foe.
Yes.
Be strong and valiant for the truth.
Cast not away the arm of strength.
Cast not away the arm of strength. To yield unto the tempting throng, for God is always strong and true to help and keep us from the wrong. Be strong. All right, and so what God is going to do is even if your situation isn't like it should be, what he's wanting to do is get in there and help you out. But what we can do is we can say, Lord, I don't need your help. I got this. And what ends up happening is more and more and more confusion. More foolishness, more things that you never thought. There'll be things happening that you never thought could happen.
Right.
They'll be happening.
Amen.
Because who's going to help you?
Yeah.
If you said, Lord, I don't need your help, then my question is this morning, who's going to help you?
Yes.
May God help us.
Yes.
This is one of the harder messages I've ever preached.
All right. True.
But it's true, though. I know it's true. And so what I want to encourage us this morning, if you're not married, I want to caution you. I want to warn you. I want to do whatever it is that I can do this morning to get it in your heart and mind that you don't take marriage light.
Right.
Do not do that. Put God first in that whole entire process.
Yes.
You're not saved, get saved.
Yes.
Get saved first.
Amen.
Then when you marry somebody, make sure that it's who God wants you to have. And if it's who God wants you to have, he said, be not unequally yoked. And so therefore, they're going to be saved too.
Right.
All right, he's going to put y'all together.
Yeah.
All right, so put God first, get saved, stay saved, and then find who God has for you. And then when you have that in motion, then keep involving him in your situation on a daily basis. You pray in the morning together. You pray at night together. You open your heart and your mind to what God has for you. Stop fixing them. Fix you and see what happens.
Yes,
because God is dealing with them about what they got going on. He don't need you to come and deal with them about what they got going on. Because he's dealing with you about what you got going on. And you don't need them dealing with you about what you got going on. All right? And so God's able to do that. He's able to do that. Do you know that sometimes we get in God's way? We think we're doing some good. We let our spouses know, look, you done messed up here. Let me fix you here. If you got that kind of relationship, then you've got a relationship where God is already in the middle of it. God told you to do it, and then he prepared the way for them to receive it, and they got a heart to receive it. You ain't got to be your wife's Holy Ghost. You don't. The Holy Ghost can do his own job.
Yes.
All right? You follow, husband, you follow the Lord.
Yes.
You follow the Lord. And if you're following the Lord, then when you come to her and you tell her what you have to say, then it's not just what you have to say because it's what you came up with when you was by yourself thinking about stuff.
That's right.
It's from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so the Lord gave it to you, and he gave it to you to be a blessing not just to you, but to her as well.
Yeah.
Because you're one flesh. You're both going to benefit from it. Everybody's going to benefit, not just me. All
right,
so she's going to be more willing to hear what you have to say and receive it. She might resist you verbally, but she's going to internalize that thing, and she's going to understand, you know what, we're in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he ain't going to tell me no mess, because if we crash this boat, we both going to be in the water, and we're not good swimmers.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
You see?
Yeah.
So God has a way of doing things.
Yeah.
And then if you're in that situation already, I encourage you highly this morning.
Yeah.
Go back to the basics.
Yeah.
Lord, this is yours. Go to him. I'm talking about today. If you don't come to the altar, that's fine. Go home and kneel by your bed, wherever you is that you pray. And say, Lord, we got some mess going on right here.
Yeah.
Devil has gotten in and has done some things. I'm a little bit bitter towards my wife, and she's a little bit unforgiving towards me. And we're cat and dog, and we're fighting, and we're back and forth. And you know what, Lord? We both love one another. This don't make no sense. We know that we love one another.
Yeah.
How is it that people that love one another can separate and divorce for life and they know they love each other?
Yeah. That's right.
See? You think the devil wants you to have a healthy marriage?
No.
What's going to fix that? What's going to help with that? Put God in his place.
Yeah.
Lord, we got a little carried away with the cares of life.
Yes.
We've been doing some things. We hadn't been reading like we had to. We hadn't been praying like we should. We ain't been coming to service. We haven't opened our hearts to your dealing. And so, Lord, the devil has got the upper hand on this deal.
Yeah.
And so, Lord, what we're doing now is we're coming to you, and together, if you can, pray together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get down together and say, Lord, Lord, have mercy on us.
Yeah.
We've done wrong in this deal. We hadn't obeyed you. And, Lord, we are sorry for that. And going forth from this day forth, what the brothers say in the Old Testament, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right? And so when we do that, then the Lord's able to come in, he's able to bless, and he's able to work and deal by the grace and help of God. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. Listen, I got to do it too. I got to do it too, and I got to do it especially. And so y'all be praying for me. My goal and my aim is to make heaven my home.
Yeah, yeah, Lord.
And while I'm on that journey, I want to be an example of a believer in word, in deed, in conversation.
Yeah.
I want to be a vessel unto honor.
Yeah.
And then when Lord give me something to do, like preach or teach or whatever it is, I don't want you getting me. I want you getting what God has for you.
Yeah.
All right? That it helped you along the way. And so when you have those kinds of goals, this is why I ask you to pray for me. When you're endeavoring to live like that, then the enemy is going to fight you.
Right. Yeah.
Lately, it's been the world. The world been trying to chase me. You know what I did? The Lord has blessed us. I said, babe, can you pray with me on this? Can you pray with me about this?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Can't do nothing, see? Because he's trying to hide. He's trying to hide behind something and sneak around and be secretive and all that. Nope, secret is out. I told my wife, we praying together.
Amen.
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 You don't say it, I'm going to say it. Amen.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Because we don't want to give the devil. The Bible says give no place to the devil.
Right.
All right? And so what he does is he's trying to come after you in these sneaky, sly ways, and you by yourself trying to fight the devil by yourself. And what's the title of the message?
One flesh.
One flesh.
Yeah.
So what's good for you is going to be good for her, and vice versa. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
And so when you go to her and say, I'm having this battle, wives, husbands, don't look down on your wife. Don't look down on your husband. They having that battle. They have the courage to come tell you about it. You get under the burden with them.
Amen.
And that's where the victory is.
Yeah,
Enemy's trying to send these women at me. And I don't want that. I want to be saved, and I want to be faithful to you, wife. And so, Lord, I'm asking you, have mercy on us. We're going to pray together about this thing. The boss at work is chasing your wife around. We're going to pray about that thing.
Yes, right.
Lord, give you strength and rebuke him.
Amen.
I'm talking plain. That's right.
Yes.
Because that's what the devil does.
Right. That's right.
And he don't care how long it takes, long as he gets to his goal.
Right.
But our goal doesn't change. We are pilgrims and strangers around here.
Yes.
We're on our way to a heavenly home.
Yes.
And so by the grace and help of God, we aim to make it. And we're going to have to let the Lord help us do that. I appreciate again your time, your attention.
Mercy be prayed for me that I may keep my home, Lord. Be a blessing and example to those that need.
Yes.
Lord, help me to be humble. I got a need to let him help me with what it is that I need.
Yes.
And go right on before the Lord. Again, I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. So let's go together by the grace and help of God.